Out of the depths, O Lord, we cry to you.
Lord, hear our cries. Let your ears be attentive to our voices and our prayers.
It is so good for us to be here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Let us keep a moment silence for a moment of reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive
to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. All-powerful God, in Jesus Christ you turn death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him, that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis, the third chapter. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 130 responsively with me. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord."
Lord, hear my voice.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch in the morning, more than those who watch in the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem.
It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 4th and 5th chapter, chapter 4. "But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, 'I believed, and so I spoke,' so we also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Chapter 5. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
And the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. When Jesus' family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they have said he has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. Here's my very short sermon on the gospel today. We're all brothers and sisters and siblings in Christ, and that makes us family, and sometimes family is not awesome, so get over it. And now we move on to Genesis. In seriousness on the gospel, that is a very in-depth gospel today. It's like a gospel within a gospel with parables. I don't like that he's whispering. That does require further study, but I don't think it's the right text for a sermon. So we are going to talk about Genesis today. So, now, I have to ask, anyone here who has had the pleasure of parenting a teenager, okay, I need you to answer a question for me. So, there's this person that you don't want your teen to date. What is the best way to make sure that your teen dates that person? Exactly. You tell them no. You tell them no, because your teen is going to date that person that you don't like. They're going to date, and beyond dating, they're going to do pretty much the exact opposite of everything you tell them to do. You forbid them to date that person, they date that person. And why do they do it? Because parents are stupid. Right? We're stupid. We are trying to keep our teens from being happy, obviously. because we are just know-it-all dictators. At some point, I would argue before the age of 13, given present experience, children go from needing and inherently trusting their parents and caregivers to wanting to be their own persons. Can you believe that? No. Except for you, Abby. I'm sure you don't do that. Independent questioning with a trust that is tinged with skepticism towards those who love them most. And other than the raging hormones, where does this come from? Where does this come from? This joke didn't get any laughs, so just pity laughs, okay? I would argue that the genesis, pun intended, that was funny. Thank you. Is an erosion of trust. The genesis of this is an erosion of trust. Something inside that teenage human is telling them that above all else, to survive in this broken and sinful world, that there is only one person that they can really, truly rely on, that they can trust. And that person is themselves. Because their parents, those that they used to trust, well, eventually they just start to sound like that teacher from Peanuts. And in this space, outside influences, the voices that tell the teen what they want to hear perhaps become clearer and louder. The serpent sows doubt. Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? Well, we may eat from them, says the woman. But God said, you know, you shall not eat from that one tree, the one in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, which, by the way, God never said don't touch the tree. God just said don't eat the tree. But anyway, or you shall die. You won't die, says the serpent. You can trust me. God is keeping your eyes from being opened. God doesn't want you to be like God, to know God, to know good and evil like God does. God is keeping this for God's own self. Kind of selfish if you ask me, but you know, no one really asked me. I just showed up in a tree one day. So Dr. Terry Friedheim, he's an esteemed Lutheran theologian, sadly passed away a few years ago. He writes this. He says, the serpent makes it sound as if God's motivation is self-serving. Is the giver of life, Friedheim asks, one who can be trusted with humankind's best interests? Can the man and woman trust God even if God has not told them everything? We know her answer. We know the woman's answer. We know it not just because we know this story, but because we know ourselves. We do not and cannot fully trust God, can we? What's that, God? What did you say? Wah-wah-wah. I can't do it very well. Sure, God, whatever you say. Our teenage hormones take over and we eat the apple or the papaya or the mango or whatever fruit it was. And we're like, that was pretty good. And we pick like 10 more off the tree to take home with us. Because we just can't not eat that fruit, that forbidden. So some call this story the fall or the first sin, known in our Lutheran context and in many like-minded denominations as original sin, the story of original sin. But what was the cause of humanity's fall? What was the original sin? Was it eating a piece of fruit? Surely not. Was it disobedience? On the surface, maybe. But why? Why did this man and this woman disobey? Was it pride? You can't tell me that I can't eat from this tree, God. I have free will. I can eat from any tree that I darn well please in this garden. Maybe it was rebellion against the one who would exercise authority, and closely linked to that is a desire for autonomy. Throwback to the teenagers. And come to think of it, maybe that first sin was precisely Adam and Eve being impetuous, know-it-all teenagers with raging hormones. That kind of tracks. Or, as I have led on, perhaps the first sin, the primal sin, the sin above all other sins, that original sin in us and in the original humans is not trusting God. God is holding out on these impetuous teenagers, withholding knowledge. How dare you, God? How can we trust a God that doesn't tell us everything? That's the sin, right? We want to know everything, don't we? Because if we know everything, we have power and knowledge and influence. And then we can rule ourselves. And that's why God is holding out. If only we know everything, then we don't need God. With full knowledge of good and evil, we don't need God because we will be gods unto ourselves. And we can cut out this pesky God that has just ridiculous expectations for us. Have you read the Bible recently? Ridiculous expectations. Love one another. What's that all about? How are we supposed to do that? What a load of crap. Love one another is. But if we cut out God, we will surely be brilliant, impetuous gods filled with hormonal teenage angst and rage, and that will work out well for creation, won't it? I mean, it has. Think about it. Look at all the wars and the violence and the power struggles and division around the world. And yes, here in this nation, I don't know if you've noticed, but we're not getting along so well. and yes, this is the fruit of original sin, us wanting to be our own gods. Emphasis on the little g on gods there. But I don't think we need look out to the world or out to our nation to see the fruit of this original sin, do we? We need not look any further than ourselves. We destroy the good and the very good of God's creation. We are self-serving. We seek power and authority. We are at times impetuous and we are at times angry. We poison relationships. And if you're saying, man, that's awful harsh. Well, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I feel like I've said that once or twice or 1,000 times. In a confession. And all of this is built on a foundation of us as individuals, each of us, not trusting God to do what God does, to be God. We can do better than God, we think. Look at the world around us. Look at the world that God created. Look how broken it is. We can do better than God did. We can fix it. If only they would give me the power. If only they would give me the power to fix this, the authority to fix this. But here's the thing. God did not break God's good creation. We did. And we re-break it every single day. And while original sin and its real effects on us and this world are important to talk about, they are. I don't think that's what this story is really about. What is much more important is what this man and what this woman do is what God does about it. And what God does is something I will call original forgiveness. Original forgiveness. God could have said this: you want to be gods, then be gods. You're on your own. But that is not what God did. Instead, when their sin was revealed, when they were exposed, as they stood there naked, except for a few quickly to throw together, fig leaves, then the Lord God showed up in the garden. They hid themselves. And the Lord called out to them, beckoned to them, "Where are you?" Even when Adam blamed God. You caught that, right? When Adam blamed God, the woman whom you gave to be with me. It's God's fault. It's God's fault, because if God didn't give this woman to Adam, there would have been no fruit handed to him. It's God's fault. And if God won't take the blame, well, then we can blame woman, right? And then the woman was like, well, but the serpent was over here. And what was implied in that was, well, you created serpent, so, you know, obviously not my fault. These humans did not trust God. They hid themselves from God. They cast blame on God. And still, God refused to abandon them to their nakedness and to their fear. God forgives them. Yes, there will be consequences, as we all know. But God forgives them, and that is original forgiveness. And from this place of forgiveness, God gets to work on restoring humanity and creation back to God, to the good and the good and the very good that God created. And we will call that, I'm going to get original here, original restoration. Original restoration. God says to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring, your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, God says to the serpent, and you will strike his heel. God's plan of original restoration requires the serpent to be destroyed, but it will come at a cost. So who or what, we ask, is the serpent? Is it the literal devil? Is it Satan? Is it the evil one? Or is the serpent a metaphor for that which tempts us into sin, that which draws us away from God and our trust in God and God's will for us? And whether it's the literal devil or a metaphor, I don't think that really matters, because in either case, there is a voice that we hear. Each of us that says, each of us hears it, and it says, we don't need God. We only need ourselves. That is the sound of the serpent. And it's a subtle, deceptive lie that persuades us. It tells us, trust yourself, don't trust God. The voice that convinces us that we know best. And we ourselves, humanity, none of us has the power, the wherewithal, the strength to crush the serpent. It is simply too seductive, because the voice says, you are the one. You will be the one to restore. You will be the one to make all things new. And we want the accolades. We want to be lauded as the heroes, as gods. We love the serpent because it tells us the lie that we want to hear. We can surely restore all things, not by God's dumb, ridiculous way, but by our way. Our way is best. But God says no. Original restoration is the way. And that requires the serpent to be destroyed, and the offspring of the woman will crush its head. But not before the serpent strikes this man's original restoration is fulfilled in and through Jesus Christ, the original serpent crusher. Now, is the world fully restored? Look around. Is it fully restored? Yeah, not quite. We know it's not. But we do know that Christ struck the serpent. The serpent did strike back, and Jesus remains victorious. And we know that because Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. We're doing it again. Because Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Much better. And in the meantime, we have work to do, right? Work that the great restorer Jesus Christ has freed us to do. But we do not do this work on our own, because when we try to do this work on our own, we screw it up. The call is to partner with God, not to be gods with a little g, but to partner with God, the God with a big G in front of his name. We ask, where is the world broken? Where's the world broken? Anybody? Can anyone see a broken part of the world? Pretty much everywhere. And how am I, how are you, how are we called to partner with God to bring about restoration? How are we to bring about God's preferred future to this place? How might we set aside our own agendas and trust that God is speaking to us? And that's a real question, so I'm going to ask it again. How might we, as individuals, as faith communities, set aside our own agendas and trust that God is speaking to us? You want to know my answer, right? It's not a good answer. I don't know. That's my not good answer. A lot of the time when we try to listen for God's voice, we can't hear it. And maybe it sounds kind of like, wah, 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 even when we try to hear God's voice. But my dear friends in Christ, if I learned anything from this narrative today, we should not despair, because even when we can't hear God, God will continue speaking and will continue pursuing, just as God did with those nearly naked humans hiding in the garden. And until that wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah, God will continue talking until it sounds something like this. I never don't love you. Even when you fail to trust me, I still love you. This, beloved, is my original love for you. So go and love one another. It is a love that is rooted in God's original love for us. So, on the one side, we have this impetuous teenager, none of you were ever impetuous teenagers. We don't have any in here at the moment, or soon to be. So on the one side, you have this impetuous teenager. That's original sin. And on the other side, we have this original love that was made known in and through, made manifest in Jesus Christ. Original love wins every single time. And for that, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
I ask you now to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father.
We would like to add this morning.
The Schweitzer family.
Heidi and Rodney.
Heidi and Rodney.
Peggy.
Terry Blackburn. First name again. Terry Faulkner. Let us pray. We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, ourselves, and our world.
You reawaken our hearts to your mercy. We give you thanks for renewers of the church in every age, especially Martin Luther. We give you thanks this day for the saints who have gone before us in faith, who have gifted us with the inherited church, while we recognize that the Holy Spirit is always moving in and through your church and your people. Open First Lutheran and its partner churches, especially St. Paul's North Robinson, to renewal in this age and reveal to us the church that is emerging in our midst. Enliven the creativity and persistence of all seeking to transform the church into a closer vision of your beloved community. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. We are a divided nation, O God. And that division trickles down to our states, our communities, our churches, and even family relationships. Remind us of our humanity and our fallibility, that we are sinners who do not deserve your love, and that your love for us is so great that you gave your Son to die for us. Humble us, O God, and remind us that we are imperfect, and with this knowledge, teach us again to listen to our neighbors with curiosity and mercy, that we may get to know and even love those with whom we disagree. Grant us the humility to acknowledge our hardness of heart and make us bold in modeling cooperation for the sake of the common good. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Grant wisdom and clarity to all who are in the seasons of discernment and transition. High school graduates preparing for first jobs or new educational journeys, especially for Sage and Lucy and Jaden, those who are shifting careers, those who are perceiving and discerning calls, either to new vocations or ministries, and those who are navigating changes in their relationships. Accompany them with your peace. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Hear the prayers of all who cry out from the depths of fear, despair, hopelessness, or sickness, especially this day, the family and friends of Mary Beth Fry, Aaron, Jane, Noel, Jean, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Sally, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, the Schweitzer family, Peggy and Rodney, Terry and Janine, and for those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. With haste, come to save these that we have named. Rescue victims of trafficking, exploitation, and abuse, and bless organizations and individuals who work on their behalf. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Praise to you for our ancestors in faith who believed, spoke, and lived in you. Give us confidence that as Jesus was raised, so we too will be raised with all the saints into your everlasting presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to save us through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. And all God's people said, amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Instead of condemning us to our original sin, we are saved by the original love of God made known in Jesus Christ. So come to the table where all are always welcome. Eat, drink, be forgiven, and be restored.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. You have nourished us in this meal. Now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Don't get up. It's fine. I'm going to just use that same joke until you start laughing again. A few announcements this morning. So a reminder that Good Hope's concert that they're hosting with the high schoolers, the Cardinal Chorale Choir, will be Tuesday, June 11th. That would make that very soon, as in this Tuesday, at 7 p.m. So if you're interested, head out to Good Hope for that. A note, probably should have announced it last week, but didn't. So the noisy offering for this month is going to Prayer Shawl Outreach, specifically to the outreach. So the out, Tammy, do you want to explain? No, she doesn't like making announcements. So the outreach is specifically out at Mill Creek. So once a month, or is it twice a month now? Twice a month now, we go out there and we teach people to knit and crochet. And by we, I mean people that know how to knit and crochet, because I am not one of those people. But it's a wonderful outreach, but it does cost money because, you know, yarn and all the things and whatnot. So please consider donating to that. What other announcements do we have this morning? Oh, yes. Mr. Rogers.
That was inspired and helped written by Fred Rogers. So we wanted to invite any children July 16th, 17th, and 18th. They're kindergarten through 5 at 5:30 to 7 p.m. And of course, since it's a distance, if the parents or grandparents want to come and stay, they are certainly welcome to help and participate and just enjoy.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So that's at Fredericktown Presbyterian in, you know, Fredericktown. it's just not a creative name.
If you want more information,
yeah. Okay. Okay. We can probably put an announcement out on that as well. So thank you for the update there, or the announcement. Any? You got an announcement, Lydia? Oh, she's ready to light the candles. All right. Are you all ready to go too?
Yeah.
All right. So please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless. What am I missing? Okay. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem.
Jesus has struck the serpent, and through him we are reconciled to God. Go and proclaim this good news.
Thanks be to God.